When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
Welcome to Thursday. We are ready to roll here. Thanks so much for making time for us. So we'll get you ready for the beginning of the college football weekend. We are into the fifth week, and we have a lot to do. Let's start with some headlines. Kirby Smart compares Hugh Freeze offenses at Ole Miss and Auburn. Is there a comparison? Well, sample size very small and very misleading, if you ask me, but we did it anyway. How about some transfer QBs? One from the ACC, the other from the Big Ten, and they will meet on the bluegrass. Devin Leary, tail of the tape so far. QBR a little bit higher for Mertz. A little higher completion ratio. Leary does lead 2-1, though, in Paul Feinbaum show appearances. So if Mertz wins, he's back Monday. Nick Saban talks NIL. Didn't sound very happy to be asked that question last night. If you missed it, this is it.
And I wondered if you'd been approached by any prospects for things like that, and if so, how you'd handle that.
Not that I know of. So I don't know of anybody that has asked us, you know, for that. But look. You know, name, image, and likeness is not really name, image, and likeness. I mean, I think we all understand what it's become and what we allowed it to become. And I said long ago and got very criticized for, is this what we want college football to become? So it's becoming what it's becoming, and that's okay. I mean, we'll just adapt and do what we have to do to be able to compete, whatever the circumstances are. So, do I think that it would be judicious to have some guardrails on some things? I think you can figure that one out just as well as anybody else.
When Nick Saban does this, is that supposed to mean something? I think what it means is the next opponent is in big trouble. Anyway, welcome back to the program as we begin Thursday. Pat Forty joining us. Column just out, talking about college football coaches diving headfirst into trash talk. We've heard a lot of it this week. Some of it against one another, some of it against relic coaches. Pat Forty joining us. Pat, thanks for the time. A lot of people were Googling Lou Holtz over the weekend and pleased to know that he was still alive. And he is, and I'm glad to know that he is too. Pat, what about what Ryan Day said, Lanning? We're into a different era right now, are we not?
We sure seem to be. The days of, we don't read anything, we block out the noise, we only focus on ourselves, seems to have come to a crashing, screaming, finger-pointing, chest-thumping stop. What a war on octogenarians from Ryan Day and from Jake Dickert, who went after Lee Corso. I could tell Washington State, you may have a long list of enemies and grievances. Lee Corso isn't on the list, so I would save it for someone else.
Well, I mean, poor Lee, and by the way, Dicker got it completely wrong, too.
Yeah, right. Completely misinterpreted what Lee Corso said. So, Ryan Day is the coach at Ohio State, and there's a lot of pressure that comes with that. I get it. And to be 49-6 and have people saying, well, I don't know, it's got to be frustrating. But come on, man. You've just beaten Notre Dame in South Bend by scoring a touchdown with 1 second left, and the first thing on your mind is to go after Lou Holtz? It's just astounding to me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be like all these guys on CNN and say, I'm not a lawyer, but let me evaluate what just happened with the Supreme Court. But I'm not a medical doctor, but I think Ryan Day probably should get a checkup, don't you? I mean, he's got some issues.
Yeah. Get some yoga classes, something to calm down the nerves there, get a little more serenity in your life, something. And look, it's clear the two losses to Michigan are eating him up. But the only way to fix that, it's not beating Notre Dame in September, it's beating Michigan in November. So if he thinks that the not tough enough narrative is going away now, he's wrong. There's only one way to prove it, and that's in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, Marcus Freeman owes him a fruitcake, because instead of talking about what a colossal failure he had at the end of the game, we were obsessing and opining about Ryan Day. Pat, let me move to another one of your subjects this week, and that was Lane Kiffin, who another guy that can never seem to get out of his own way. A week on Twitter like we've never seen before from Kiffin, and it literally all went down in flames against his old boss.
Yeah, I mean, all that, whatever it was, posturing, psychological operations, and then your team just lays an egg, basically. I mean, what a dud. And I said that Lane Kiffin needed to prove that he's a grown-up coach. That game didn't prove it. That, you've got a chance against a vulnerable Alabama team with a good Mississippi team, and you just basically laid an egg. So I don't want to hear anything from Lane Kiffin anymore. I just stay off Twitter and coach your team and do better at it.
And I thought the final coup de grace came today when Nick Saban talked about Mississippi State, which from most accounts is one of the weaker teams in the SEC. And he said, we go to Starkville Saturday night. And other than Texas, that's the best team we'll have seen this year. I mean, a complete 2x4 across Lane Kiffin's head.
Especially in that state. Oh, boy. Yeah, that one, that's a burn. And Nick Saban doesn't do many public burns, but that's one of them.
Speaking of Nick Saban, Pat, and, people are proclaiming Bama is back now, including myself, just because what else can you say after something like that? But as you watch Nick Saban and try to figure what this season is going to look like, I know what you have said in the past, but where are you right now after one impressive win and one pretty tough loss?
Yeah, I mean, that was a good win. First of all, they had to have it. They were backed up against the wall. They had put themselves into a crisis, not just with the loss, but then the just awful performance against South Florida and the quarterback back and forth. And so they did come through when they had to, but so many hard games left still. You've got Mississippi State, but then you've got Tennessee, you've got LSU. We know what the Iron Bowl's like every year. The Texas A&M game isn't going to be easy. So there is nothing necessarily that says Alabama's going to win the West for sure and go to the SEC championship game and then go to the playoff. I think they're still a long way from proving they're good enough to do that. Now, we'll see if they can continue to progress, develop into something offensively that has some explosiveness. But for now, they're just another good team, in my opinion.
And speaking of that, it's not allowed on this network, of course, to ask questions like what's wrong with the SEC, but I'll see if I can sneak one in while the censors are getting ready for the next show. But what is your 38,000-foot view of the SEC right now after 4 weeks?
Yeah, I don't think – I mean, it's certainly not a vintage SEC. I think it's a below-average SEC. We'll see if – that tier below Georgia, if anybody can actually put it together, if some of this, the unbeaten teams, big game for Kentucky this weekend. Missouri, if you can beat Vanderbilt this weekend, then a huge game next week against LSU. Could those teams put something together and be better than maybe we thought? LSU itself, they had a bad loss to begin the season, but can they then piece it together now and make a bit of a run? Or is this really just Georgia or bust for the college football playoff? And Georgia itself has not been overly impressive. I think they've been a little bit bored. I think they know the drill, and going away from home should energize them, focus them, and I expect to see a better Georgia, frankly, against Auburn.
And, Pat, before you go, let me get to the question of the college football season. I know that you booked a few flights to Denver this year. So what and where are we as Deion Sanders has his biggest home game of the year against Southern Cal, coming off of a humiliating trip to Oregon?
Yeah, I'll be on another flight tomorrow to Denver, as a matter of fact. So it is the September of Deion, that's for sure. And so, I mean, it's been, you know, fascinating. It's been entertaining as hell. They have played some very good football. They played some very bad football. I thought the loss to Oregon was very predictable. Bad matchup, bad setup. They were due, and I expect them to be better against USC. I'm not sure they're good enough to win, but I expect their offense certainly to be better. And, you know, I thank Deion for giving us just incredible content. He has just transcended the sport and been the biggest story in sports all month. So it's just been great to see and great to cover. And, you know, I would imagine we turn the page after September 30th on Saturday and say, okay, who's now going to contend for a national championship? And it's not going to be them. But, hey, great month.
And, Pat, did I read where Taylor Swift is going to – oh, I'm sorry, that was a Jets game, not a Buffaloes game. Always great to
Don't
talk to you.
Don't put it past her. You never know. She may show up.
She can read the tea leaves. She knows where the eyeballs are. Hey, Pat, thanks so much. Enjoy the trip to Colorado as we continue here on a Thursday afternoon. We're off and running. We hope you'll join us right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 years after the prayer at Jordan-Hare, Ricardo Lewis remembers superhero play. Matt Cohen from AL.com remembering the Georgia weekend. Remember this play? It was in November, November 16th. This was it. Auburn had blown a 20-point lead, and Marshall just threw it up in the air. Georgia defender knocked it right into Lewis's hands. And that's how Auburn stayed alive to take on Alabama a couple of weeks later, a game that I'll never forget. Vern Lundquist and the CBS crew called it the most improbable ending you'll ever see. Well, that was until 2 weeks later when the most improbable ending occurred. Cohen will join us in about an hour. Zornman on where does A&M go now that their star quarterback is gone, and I have no earthly idea where Griff will take us. But he'll take us somewhere. John EB is up first.
Okay. Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I don't know if maybe Fox heard a little of the show yesterday and the Ryan Day comments, but they came out with a poll last night, active head coaches with the highest winning percentage, and I found this to be really funny. 16-6, Ryan Day is the leader, 72%. Then here's Kirby Smart with 28-12, 70%. There's a guy called Nick Saban. He's played in 101 and lost 47, 68.2%. Lincoln Riley, 65%. Tom Herman, 15-10, 60%. The sample size is one thing that freaks me out. But if you'll notice, the most games are Kirby and Nick, and they're probably against SEC West opponents, championship games, be it the SEC or the championship level, not a made-up early-in-the-year poll when you got a bunch of people on your patsies on your schedule that you beat, like Ryan Day and Lincoln Riley and Tom Herman do. What do you think about that?
That's very interesting. I mean, everybody has either three or four patsies a year. Most schools, Big Ten has, they play nine games, so they probably only have two. Well, in the SEC, you probably have three in your one Power 5 game. Thanks for the call. AC is up next.
Thank you. Mr. Feinbaum, how are you feeling? Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Mr. Feinbaum, I have a question for you. So my question is, how come you're not going to New York City anymore during college football season? I recall you used to go. So what happened to your schedule?
Well, I was doing that for a number of years, and then COVID came, and nobody was really traveling much for 2 years. And then we realized we could do whatever I need to do up there from here. It was easier with all the remote situations. And it was also saving me 3 nights a week in New York, which I quite frankly did not care for.
Of course, because you're traveling a lot. You're getting older, so you got to go easy. I like that. I'm dead serious, Mr. Feinbaum. Sometimes you got to think smart.
Well, no. Well, it was a lot. I was gone 5 nights a week my last season before COVID, and it pretty well did me in.
Absolutely. So it catches up, man. Sometimes you got to be smart. You got to think about yourself before you do something for your boss, those idiot ESPN. But here's another thing. I'm pretty sure it's a lot of fat people in those rat nation called New York City. They're garbage, man. You know, I cannot help it. I got to bash them. I hate you, fat Americans. I cannot help myself, Mr. Feinbaum. I'll keep on bashing those sore losers, morons out there. I hate you. I hate your guts. I hate all of you.
Have we brought back the death penalty in this country? Yeah, I think we still have it. Gail is up next in Atlanta. Hello, Gail. Gail, you there?
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
Yeah, actually, it's Gail Dean, and I'm not in Atlanta, but I'm in Pensacola. And, Paul, I just wanted to say we got a similar background. I started out covering small college football in the 1960s. And I worked for Gary Caruso at the Atlanta Journal back in the early 80s and covered college ball for them. I don't know. If you ever knew David Davidson, I'd worked with him in Jackson, Mississippi.
I knew David. I knew David forever. We were very good friends, and I have not. I've lost time. I don't know what if he's still around or what. But I knew David extremely well.
Yeah, we worked high school games back in Jackson, Mississippi, when I started teaching journalism. In Atlanta, I called up and they said, "Hey, yeah, go cover games for us." But Paul, a couple of things, and I'll call you back over a period of time. But I worked. 50 years ago, I was one of the first two graduate assistants for Charlie Thornton and Kirk McNair in Alabama publicity.
That's amazing.
And there's a lot of good stories I could tell you.
Yeah, we're talking about a time, Gail Dean, when Charlie and Kirk and all these different people, they were respected, revered, unlike the PR people today that often heard the media in like cats.
Yeah, what Charlie would do is on Monday, he would send me over to Brian Hall and I'd sit down with a player. And Coach Brian had picked out, he didn't want his players talking to the media.
No, I know.
So he sent me over one night and I did the first story on Bob Baumhauer.
Did you really?
And
wow.
I did the first story on Richard Todd one time. And, as back in those days, I was there when Sylvester Croom and Calvin Culver you know, started as sophomores, because as freshmen you could not play in the SEC in those days.
No, those were special. So how long did you do that?
I did it for 2 years. I got my master's working for Charlie and Kirk and so forth. And even I went out, matter of fact, I'd write the football program for the freshmen and, you know, and go out. And, matter of fact, I used to go to the band and write what the band was going to do over
That's
the weekend.
Great.
But listen, hey, Paul, I want to tell you, you used to do a little PR work. I got a slogan for you. Thanks, fits perfect. Your show reminds me a lot of the Johnny Carson show sometimes. And, you know, you'd have Ed McMahon saying, now, here's Johnny. Well, you know, after you do your SEC theme song, which is great, here is what somebody should say. Here's Paul Feinbaum's with his fantastic favorite callers from the SEC and nationwide.
I like that idea. Listen, Gale Dean, as a kid growing up in that era, there was nothing more important than Johnny Carson at 10:30 at night.
Right, you know, and I just thought, you know, you're doing a show similar because you got comedy. And, you know, what would be interesting about this, and, I'm happy to let you use it if you can use it, because okay. You're going to have people call in and say, Paul, am I one of the favorites? Or, Paul, am I famous?
You know, well, Gale Dean, that's great. Why? I hope. So you say you're in Pensacola?
Yeah, just out of Pensacola, Milton. Yeah.
Oh, sure. I know that. I know where Milton is. Well, I hope to meet you one day. What a pleasure to make your acquaintance. Thanks so much. Great to hear from you. And remember the good old days, Jay, not too far from where Gale Dean was in Mobile.
Roll Tide, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Paul, I want to talk about my team, the Crimson Tide. I'm glad we played Mississippi State this week. No disrespect to them, but this is a game to tune our team up. Our defense looks good, but our offense needs some work. But we're getting better every week, Paul. This game will help us, so to speak, get all the kinks out before we enter this stretch of tough SEC games. Paul, I got a question for you. Have you heard an update on Lawson, number 32 on our defense? Have you heard anything on him?
I believe he's out this week. I have not heard much more than that.
And I want to say to all the Bama bandwagon jumper fans, since we got beat by Ole Miss, since we beat Ole Miss, y'all want y'all seat back. And y'all had us wrote off just like all the other haters and most sports writers. Well, we don't need y'all's support. Roll damn tide, Paul. Have a good one.
Daryl in Baton Rouge. Good afternoon, Daryl.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great.
Good. I want to talk about Ole Miss and LSU, but before I do, I want to tell you a real quick 30-second story. I got to give a shot in my knee tomorrow, cortisone, which is not fun, right? But this morning I woke up, and memories went back to high school football. I played 8-man football in high school, and that was something to play that game. That was a real fast game, you know. It moved quick and it hit hard. You've heard of 8-man football, haven't you?
I sure have, yes.
Yeah, so that was an event. But there was a guy on our team named Bill Carville. That was James Carville's brother.
Yeah.
He played with us his freshman year before he transferred to a bigger school where he could play 11-man football. And he wound up getting a scholarship at Northwestern State in Natchitoches, the same place my son got a scholarship to. But James gave me the nickname Rail Job. I was 6'2", weighed 145 pounds. And that name stuck like glue. But I dated James and Bill's sister in high school, so Rail Job, Rail Job, Rail Job, that was the theme, you know. But and then by coincidence, James and I started, once the relationship ended with their sister, James and I started dating two sisters in Baton Rouge that lived by an apartment. But and that went on for a couple of years. But
hey, by the way, Daryl, I saw James last year in New Orleans. I was at a party with him, and he is alive and kicking, living down there.
Yes, he is. I hadn't seen James in 30 years. But That's funny how your memories come back to you.
No. We happened to be in a group. The athletic director at LSU was there, Scott Woodward, some other people, and James sat down next to me, and he quizzed me on. LSU. He was peppering me more on LSU baseball. He was asking me about. I think Skeens had just shown up, and that's all he wanted to talk about. Anyway, hey, thanks for the call. We are up against the break. We come back with much more after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. We've been watching a little bit of Max Johnson during the break here. Looking good against Auburn, taking on Arkansas Saturday night. Brent Zwerneman joining us now with the Houston Chronicle. And you had the big story the other day about Connor Wegman being out for the season. Brent, thanks for the time. It's always great to say hello to you. And let's start right there. Wegman gone, Johnson in. Discuss what all that means for the Aggies.
Paul, thanks again for having me. It's been a while. And can I share a personal story just real quick involving you? And it's
sure.
Not bad.
Absolutely.
I lost my dad earlier this year. And, it had been a tough year. My brothers and sisters helped take care of him. And he was 86, and he was a tough old dude, a military member and a home builder who, would build the homes with his own hands. And, as I said at his funeral, if everyone took care of their corner of the world, like Bill Zwerneman took care of his, the entire world would be taken care of. And with all proper respect, he was not a listener. He knew your name, but he was not a listener. But the way he stayed very busy with the outdoors and grandchildren and things like that. But the way he knew your name was, anytime I would be on your show, some of his old military buddies spread out across the nation would call him and say, hey, I'm listening to your son right now. And I just wanted to pass along to you, do you know how proud that made him to hear from his old military guys, that he had been retired for a couple of decades from the Air Force, but to hear from them. And so I just wanted to let you know real quick, Paul, that, you make a difference in ways that maybe you don't even know. And that was always really cool to hear from my dad with almost a tear in his eye saying that he had heard from his buddies who had been listening to me on your show. So I just wanted to share
that. First of all, thank you very much for saying that. And Danny, I think, made reference some time ago that you were going through that. And we are terribly sorry. That has to be difficult. That's a cliche, but based on what you just got through saying there, I'm just so glad that we had that time together to make him hear from some of his buddies. Because how long was he in the service before I get to A&M?
About 34 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and he was active duty and reserve with the Air National Guard. And I just wanted to share that with you. Yeah, and we're very fortunate he lived a good, full life. But it's just one of those things where when I would hear from him after being on your show, and he had heard from his old friends, who still listen, by the way, they are listening. It was just something always stuck with me, so I just wanted to say thank you.
I knew
front.
That we had.
I'll be happy to talk Connor Wigman.
Yeah, no, we had just to end that, but we had tried to get you a couple of times, and I know you were going through that, and then some other things. So we're really glad that you are on now. But thank you. That means a lot to everyone that works on this show. So I don't even remember my question. I think it had to do with Connor Wigman and Max Johnson.
It did.
Go ahead.
Well, Jimbo has said all along he's felt fortunate to have two good quarterbacks. And, when coaches typically say that, you just, you know, roll your eyes a little bit. But he actually means it, and I actually believe it, the guys on the beat, because Max Johnson is a quality quarterback. And from everything I understood, Paul, going into the summer even, Bobby Petrino was very high on Max Johnson. If you get my drift there in terms of saying, hey, he would have been very happy with him as the starter as well. And, you know, and obviously they did not want to lose Connor Wigman. He was a five-star guy for a reason. I think he has an NFL future. But they also feel like they can win with Max Johnson, just like LSU did 2 years ago. One of the weird stories on him is he actually took advantage of the COVID year. He's the only guy I can ever recall going backward in eligibility. Maybe you know of someone, but last year he was listed as a junior. This year he's listed as a sophomore, which is exactly what he was listed at 2 years ago when he beat the Aggies when he was LSU's starting quarterback. But he decided to go ahead and take advantage of that COVID year, and now he's the Aggie starting quarterback. And he started last year against Arkansas and Arlington and beat the Razorbacks. It was a close, tight game, and now he's the starter again.
And everyone was so fired up about Connor, and I'm curious because I hear equally good things about Johnson. Do you think it, in Bobby Petrino's system, it really mattered much, or break that down for us?
Yeah, maybe that Max Johnson is maybe just a little bit better fit in terms of, maybe you saw that when he came on against Auburn when they were facing with, you know, the Tigers have had their troubles but seemed to have a pretty good defense. And next thing you know, he comes in the second half and in place of an injured Wegman and throws two touchdown passes, one to his younger brother, Jake, which is a neat story, one I'm writing today, you know, that brother combo, and just kind of really lit a fire under the offense. So I think from that vantage, now we don't get to visit with Bobby Petrino week in and week out, but I had heard, you know, he was high on both guys and would absolutely 100% be comfortable with Brad Johnson's son as his starting quarterback as well, and that's what he's got. Now then you say, okay, who's the backup past that? Then you're looking at Jalen Henderson from Fresno State, and going back to what Jimbo said in the spring, hey, I wish I had three or four, you know, I need three or four quality quarterbacks. Last year they needed three starting quarterbacks to get through the year. And obviously with all proper respect to Jalen Henderson, they want Max Johnson to be able to finish out this year as the starting quarterback. But they have had that history in recent years of losing guys to injury. Haynes King, Max Johnson, and you know, that's something that needs kind of a longer look. I would tend to think it does just kind of err on the side of bad luck, but also that pass protection needs to be a little bit better too for the Aggies moving forward.
Brent Zornman with us. Brent, to say the least, this is a critical moment in the year with Arkansas this week, a game that's always tight, usually won by the Aggies, and then next week, Bama, Tennessee is on the schedule. What is your sense of this, first the game Saturday against Arkansas?
Yeah, I definitely don't think the Aggies are looking past Arkansas by any means, especially with the change at quarterback, to say, okay, they've got Alabama at home the following week. I don't think that's the case at all. All you have to do is look back at last year when they were very fortunate to leave the field with a victory when the Arkansas kicker did something I've never seen before, put one off the top of the upright, not just off the upright, but off the top of the upright, and then it comes back and the Aggies win. It's very critical. I will say on the Jimbo Fisher front, I don't think A&M fans are saying, well, now he has an excuse, you know, without his starting quarterback or anything like that. You know, because as Jimbo himself has said, they're deep, they're talented. He's had two starting quarterbacks to choose from. So that's not going to be an excuse if things do go south again, in terms of A&M fans saying, oh, well, they lost Wegman, you know, he deserves another year. I don't think that's going to be the case at all. And from what I understand from, you know, the higher ups, they're not going to use that excuse as an excuse at all. But also they're still expecting, you know, at least 8-4 and probably 9-3. And Paul, I did something in the offseason I've never done. I actually had them picked 8-4. It was my preseason pick. And after we did visit with Bobby Petrino and he went in depth on everything, I actually upped it to 9-3 at that point, because I realized, I was like, okay, he really gets the situation he's in, what he's walked into. And it wasn't just, I'm going to tell these guys what they want to hear. I mean, he explained in detail his plans for the offense and actually upped it to 9-3. And I still think they're at least 8-4 with Max Johnson as starting quarterback.
And Brent, on Jimbo, and I just parachuted in last weekend and left. I don't live there and have the sources you do, but just anecdotally, I felt better about Jimbo Fisher's immediate future. Now, that can change in 2 weeks, of course, or 3 weeks, but how do you read that right now?
Yeah, and Jimbo personally, as you've probably noticed, the past few weeks, he seems really like he's enjoying his new role. He's been really relaxed with us, and he seems like he's enjoying this idea that he doesn't have to be buried in the weeds of figuring out the next play call and so forth, and he can do maybe a better overall job of running the team. And that was the directive last year. It's like, okay, you'll get another year, but you need somebody to call the plays. They bring on Bobby Petrino. Their offense has been at least as good as it's been since Jimbo Fisher has been here. And, and I think last year they scored in the 30s one time against a Power 5 program, if I'm getting that right. And now, it seems like they're really putting up numbers, even in the loss. You lose at Miami 48-33, but you still put 33 points on the board. So things are pointing in the right direction on that front. And the sense I'm getting is that, he's going to get every chance to kind of right this ship and that he did what he needed to do in bringing on board a true play caller. And my sense from Jimbo personally is that he's really kind of enjoying this new setup and this new role.
Brent Zornerman from the Houston Chronicle. Brent, again, thanks for dropping by. We really appreciate you sharing the story about your dad, and all the best to your family. Thanks so much, Brent, joining us on the eve of the Texas A&M Arkansas game in Arlington, and we are coming right back with more of your phone calls.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back, and BK is up next from Alabama. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for putting me through.
Thank you.
Trust you're good. Real quickly, I enjoy hearing, it always touches me hearing about the older veterans staying in touch, and also speaks to the reach of your program. That was good to hear that.
Thank
from,
you.
From the Houston writer there. Paul, I was watching Coach Saban on Mackey's show today, and he doesn't sound like a guy that's going to be breaking camp anytime soon and headed to the house. But I agree with you on, you can't name who it's going to be. But two parts to my question. The first is, do you think that Coach Saban's going to have the same kind of input that Coach Bryant did on his replacement? And what criteria do you think that he would use to help make that decision?
Yeah, BK, some of that will be circumstantial. I don't think there's any doubt if Nick Saban told the administration, I am planning on leaving on this date or even relatively soon at the end of the season, the first question they would have is, are you sure? Is there anything we can do to talk you out of it? And secondly, do you have a recommendation? He will undoubtedly be asked. The question is whether he will want to be involved, and some of it will depend on what he'll do next. Everyone thinks he's going to head into television. I don't think that's a guarantee. I think that's certainly on the table. He might find something else more challenging. But I think there are some people that would be eliminated, but I think the criteria would be someone who is take charge, no nonsense, that can deal with the pressures of that job, which are enormous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just, like I say, I listen to him. He just doesn't sound like he's.
By the way, the weird thing about Coach Bryant, and I covered that as a Cub reporter, he was very reticent to get too involved because he had so many former assistants who I think he had promised the job to. I talked to three or four different people that all told me Coach Bryant wanted me to replace him. And it ended up that the guy that got the job would not have been Bryant's choice. The administration went for Ray Perkins primarily because he was a little bit independent. He had never worked at Alabama, and he had been a head coach in the NFL, and they felt he was more capable. He really wasn't capable in certain respects, but this will be, I can't imagine Coach Saban staying around. That just doesn't sound like him at all to me. In any way, so I think he'll let them choose the person that they want with some advisement.
Well, Paul, I appreciate it. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, BK. Which is why a lot of people don't think Lane Kiffin would get the job. This is just my supposition here. On years of reporting that story, that Nick Saban would not be in favor of Lane Kiffin taking over. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.